Thank you for the introduction. This is going to be a little change right now. I'm glad that I was invited here, but I'm going to talk about a few other problems besides just phosphorus. I work at the North Appalachian Experimental Watershed, as you see the picture here. It's an area where surface runoff is a problem in terms of water quality, and not just phosphorus, but nutrients and pesticides. So the first part of my talk will kind of introduce you to why I'm interested in using reactive barriers, and then I'll give you some results, and some of it will relate to phosphorus. I work in an area where we have steeply sloping soils. We have small monitored watersheds. Just the picture here shows you one of the watersheds. These are natural watersheds. There's boundaries put up to accentuate the boundaries of the watershed. Any water that runs off has to go through our monitoring buildings, and when it goes through the monitoring buildings, we have a flume to measure the amount of runoff we have, and we have various sampling devices there to either look at a flow composite sample or discrete samples during runoff events. This is just some data from 9 years of study looking at the loss of the herbicide atrazine, and these are annual flow rated concentrations looking at three different tillage practices. And you'll notice in some years that it all depends on the weather conditions. In some years the concentrations are below the drinking water standard, but on average, looking at all three management practices that we have here, the flow-weighted annual concentrations are higher than the drinking water standard. So tillage and in reduced rate applications aren't solving the problem in field, so we have to look at edge of field solutions to these problems. Just getting back though a little more closely at what's happening with atrazine, this is a plot of atrazine concentration with days after application, and you see those high concentrations above the drinking water standard are usually occurring within the first 100 days of application, so that's when we have to have our control measures active. Even looking more closely at this, for that 9-year period, I had a total of 1,800 storms on these 7 watersheds that I looked at. And if you look at the total amount of herbicide loss there over that 9-year period, and you rank all those storms, that worst storm that we had caused an average of about 42% of the atrazine loss. And the top 5 storms caused 85% of the atrazine loss. So it's just a few events that caused most of the problem and caused most of the transport. And if I take that concentration that I just showed you, which was on a log scale, and I put it on a linear scale, you see what I'm talking about here. It's those first few events right after application that are causing the very high concentrations and those very high average loads throughout the year. So this is where we have to concentrate our control measures. I showed you the example for atrazine here. Fortunately, I work on a watershed where I can go out there and take pictures when things are actively occurring. This is just another herbicide. This is metribuzin. This is 10 days after application. This was a relatively small event, not a lot of water that we have to deal with, but in the 9-year period, this event transmitted 85% of the total load of metribuzin. So it can be just a few small events that cause most of the problems. And this is the same watershed 2 months later, showing a much larger event, but this was 75 days after application, and so it only transmitted a small amount of metribuzin. We see the same sort of thing with our nutrients. It's right after application, particularly with no-till soils where there's no incorporation, that we get high concentrations of nutrients in those first few events. So that's the kind of focus of the control measures that I'm looking at. So what I did is I designed an experiment where we took the effluent coming off of the watersheds after it ran through our gauging house, and then I ran it through grassed waterways. And grassed waterways are frequently used in this area. Buffer strips aren't very practical, as it was brought up earlier in the discussions here, because we get concentrated flow. In the area where I work, soils or watersheds are naturally very steep. The flattest watershed we have is 6% slope, and we go up to about 30% slope. So we know where the water flows, and it's always going to be concentrated flow. So what we did is we designed an experiment where we took that effluent, and we, after it ran through our gauge house, it was diverted into two grass waterways. In the upper half of one grass waterway, I put my reactive barriers filter socks, and I measured the concentration going out of that versus the untreated grass waterway. In the lower half of the waterway, I put filter socks in the other half and no filter socks in the paired waterway. So I'm measuring the concentration as it comes off and as it goes through filter socks or no filter socks, and then taking this as input concentration at the 15 meter interval, and looking at the concentration afterwards. Just a little bit about the construction of the grass waterways. These were typical NRCS design for the area here. Again, the only difference is I constructed paired waterways adjacent to each other for experimental purposes, and I also put berms adjacent to the waterways. So it was only the water that was running off the watershed that was getting into the waterways, not water from the side. The only other addition would be rainfall directly on the waterways during any rainfall events. So the water naturally comes through the naturally generated runoff, goes through the sampling building. In the sampling building, I'm measuring flow rates, and then that flow is split in half to go into my culverts and diverted into the grass waterways. In the grass waterways, I put filter socks, and filter socks are basically open mesh tubes that you can fill with compost. You can mix other things with the compost, and filter socks are typically used as a replacement for silt fences that you often see around construction sites. I'm looking at an agricultural use for this erosion control technology. The filter socks are made basically by what would be equivalent to like a big sausage machine. You scoop up, or you put the compost in the hopper, and you have an auger there that fills the filter socks. This can be done on site. It can also be done with a blower, where you have a blower that just fills up the socks. In my case, I have the socks filled at my collaborator Filtrex, and I put them on a trailer and move them to the site. The advantage of these, when they're dry, they're fairly easy to move. There's not a lot of weight involved with these. So the filter socks are put in the grass waterway. This just shows you, this picture was taken when I was doing some preliminary experiments. If you saw Tony's first picture when he was introducing the presentations, now I'm using shorter length filter socks and a larger diameter to try to back up more water behind them. But under low flow conditions, the water flows out of the watershed through the grass waterway and gets ponded slightly behind the filter socks, and the water basically passes through the filter material there. At higher flow rates, it overtops the filter socks and moves down the waterway. But we still get some ponding occurring there, and that ponding can also help reduce concentrations of the materials moving in the water. Just a little explanation. This is sediment looking at, I had two watersheds where I did this. One was a tilled watershed and one was a no-till watershed. Over here I have the concentration coming out of the segments of the waterways that had filter socks in it, and I form a ratio between the input and the output concentration, and that's plotted against the concentration where I just had the grass waterway with no filter socks in it. The grass waterway itself will provide some treatment. So what you're looking at here is any point plotted below the one-to-one line shows that there was an additional effect of the filter socks on reducing concentration. There's also a box here of 1, so if the ratio is above 1, that shows that the filter socks were not actually removing anything, or in some cases actually adding to the concentration of the component that I was looking at. So what I found is when I put these in grassed waterways where I had tilled the watershed, I found about a 49% reduction in sediment concentration. Where I looked at this, where I had a no-till watershed, I saw no reduction in sediment concentration. What I surmised was happening with the tilled watersheds, I had much higher sediment load, about 5 times higher concentration on average. With the no-till watershed, I had very low concentrations, and those tend to be very fine clay particles, and they weren't really trapped in the filter. In the tilled watershed, these were some larger particles that were trapped better with the filter sock. This is just looking at glyphosate. What I found here, it was with the tilled watershed, there was about a 5% reduction in glyphosate concentration and no effect in the no-till watershed. I also looked at several other herbicides. I won't point those out right now, but I saw a minimal reduction, anywhere from about 5 to 10% in herbicide concentration. In terms of nutrients, I saw no effect on the nutrients with filter socks just filled with compost. So the next step was to add something to the filter socks to try to increase nutrient sorption. I worked with my collaborator, Filtrex, that markets a product that they call Neutralox. And Neutralox basically is alum that they add to that. So we mixed alum into the sausage grinder when we were making the filter socks, and I increased the number of filter socks. Instead of just having 2 per waterway, I put 3 of them in there, and then I looked at nutrient concentration and herbicide concentration afterwards. 2009 was the first year that I did this, and this is phosphorus concentration coming out there. 2009 turned out to be a terrible year to do this. We put the filter socks out in late May, and the first runoff that we got wasn't until September. So I didn't get those very high peak concentrations occurring there, but I did see about a 27% reduction in phosphorus concentration. Similar results with the tilled and no-till watersheds. What I also did see was very high sulfate concentrations coming off. This is a log scale on my ratio here, and so I saw up to 22 times increase in sulfate concentration. Obviously, I was dissolving some of that aluminum sulfate and moving that off in the runoff. This year, the project is still underway. This has been a much different year. May and June were very wet. I had very high sediment loads coming off. Right here, you see that's the remnants of my filter sock there, and it was buried with sediment. I had some very high sediment loads, particularly with the tilled watersheds, where I transmitted about 6,000 kilograms of sediment coming off the watershed. What I found is that the filter socks trapped about 23% of that sediment, about 1,400 kilograms, and where I just had an untreated grass waterway, I was only removing about 200 kilograms. In terms of nutrient concentration, I saw fairly huge reductions in ammonia nitrogen, nitrate nitrogen, and phosphorus in the filter socks. But I don't think this is an effect of the filter socks themselves. What I found was that this runoff occurred right after the fertilizer was applied, and actually when we were filtering the samples, we saw the pearls of the urea in the sediment that we had there. So we were trapping some fertilizer particles in the sediment and behind the filter socks, and it really wasn't a chemical process or sorption on the alum that was reducing the concentration. It was just trapping the fertilizer materials. All right, just a few conclusions here. In our situation, we don't have soils that are overloaded with phosphorus, but we do have or have the potential for high phosphorus loads right after application. Same thing with herbicides. We have high concentrations in those first few events. There's not much we can do in terms of infield practices to reduce that. So filter socks are a potential way of doing this. They're fairly cheap and easy to install. They help reduce sediment concentrations fairly well. If we add an amendment to that, we can target whatever solute tends to be the problem, but it's certainly a technology that's in need of further development. So thank you very much.